going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, good morning. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. I'd love me some NFL draft, but I got to be honest, here in the Bay, it's been a little quieter. There's this thing happening with the Golden State Warriors called the playoffs. They haven't been in a while. Jimmy Butler got hurt. Thankfully, it's just a deep glute contusion, so hopefully he's back for game three. So that's kind of dominated our airwaves, but we've been talking a lot of draft this morning and Mykal Williams and just the 49ers. Outside of Nick Bosa on this D-line, they desperately needed some help. So what is Mykal Williams bringing to the party next year in Santa Clara? And good morning to you, Baldy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I love him. I thought he was the second best edge rusher in a deep, deep defensive line draft. Like the guy's been playing at Georgia ever since he was a freshman. Played on the national championship team with Jalen Carter and a bunch of those guys up there, Nolan Smith. He's got great length. Long arms, knows how to set a mean edge, can really play up and down your defensive line. I mean, he's an edge rusher, but he can play your three technique in passing situations. He can go inside because he can handle double teams. He's just got tremendous size at 6'5", really long arms, got almost a 7-foot wingspan, knows how to use them. But he reminds me, honestly, of Trayvon Walker, who was a number one pick a couple years ago by Jacksonville. He has that type of power. He got hurt last year in the first game of the year against Clemson, high ankle sprain, battled through it all year. So he didn't have quite the production that some people predicted, but he also demonstrated a lot of toughness. Like I saw John Lynch at the Senior Bowl this year, and it's a deep, I said, as soon as we left there, we knew it was a deep and talented defensive line draft. 10 guys got taken last night in the first round. And there'll be a bunch more here today in the second round. But you know, and look, Mykal wasn't there. He was resting up at that time. But like I thought the 49ers got themselves a really good compliment opposite Nick Bosa right now as they try to build this defensive line.
I'm going to ask you more about the player himself and how he fits. But did you like where they picked him? Meaning, yes. Was he the best available for the Niners? And would you have taken him there as opposed to another player or another position?
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, I mean, you could have gone like two picks after him. Miami took Kenneth Grant. So you really had a choice. Do you want the edge guy or do you want the defensive tackle? Like, Kenneth Grant's a massive defensive tackle. He went 13 to Miami. I'm pretty sure that if he was there at 21, Pittsburgh would have taken him. That was their guy that they wanted. Walter Nolan went a couple picks. Like, these guys were falling off the boards. I love Mykal Williams. You have a choice. You want the best interior defensive lineman, Joe, or you want the best edge guy? I think the edge guys are harder to find, and I think he's got special quality. So I thought it was perfect. I mean, they're probably pretty lucky that the Bears decided tight end was a better choice, or the Saints thought Kelvin Banks was a better choice. Because if I was either one of those places, or Carolina, like, I would have taken Mykal Williams over any of the guys that they just took at 8, 9, or 10.
No, that's good. That's good to know, because, you know, they were asked yesterday, hey, did you try to trade up? And, you know, Lynch kind of played it coy and whatnot. And so, you know, I like Jalen Walker as well from Georgia. I think there was an argument to be made for him. The kid Campbell from Alabama, because missing Greenlaw is a big miss. But I'm not trying to judge this off of one pick. This is an entire offseason, and you have a whole draft. So I want to see how the rest of the draft plays out. How does this player look in this system? Wide nine, Chris Kocurek, Robert Saleh, do you like the fit?
Yeah. I mean, they're a four-man front team. They do generally like the wide nines. He was not a wide nine rusher at Georgia. They don't play that style, but nobody really does in college. But he's got enough speed to be able to collapse a pocket, speed to power. All these guys need to work on their moves and work on an array of moves to set guys up. That's all. That's Kocurek's job, is to, you know, really work on pass rush and become a true specialist in this business. Very few guys come in polished like that. Just because of the style of offenses that college plays and how quickly the ball is basically out of the quarterback's hands, they don't get a lot of, you know, five-step and seven-step drop in college. So, but he's got everything you need to work with to become an elite player.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line, Spadoni and Shasky, the Morning Rose Baldy breakdowns after not a crazy first round in the NFL draft, but there was some shockingness that I want to get to. I don't even know if that's a word, shockingness, but the Jags, the Browns, obviously Shador falling. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Baldy, just talking about him as the player, right? I heard a lot from whether it's the Mel Kuypers, the Daniel Jeremiahs, or the Joel, everyone talking about him against the run. He's pretty damn good, if not one of the best, when it comes against the run and setting that tone there. The pass rush win rate wasn't the greatest. That's, I guess, an area of improvement. Is that something you see him getting better with in the NFL? Is that the biggest area of improvement for his game, is, you know, getting to the quarterback and getting the sack totals up?
Well, I mean, you have to, you know, you got to get into pass rush situations first. The guy's great against the run. He's got great length. He sets a good edge. Like, he's a big, strong kid. Now, pass rush win rate, I don't know. Like, it's just a number to me. I don't know how they evaluate these things in college. I mean, you know, you're at Georgia and you're playing Ole Miss and Jackson Dart. I mean, there's a million bubble screens out there. You're not getting the quarterback against those type of offenses. So, like, I'm not worried about that. I think you want a guy that fills out a uniform, that comes off the ball with an explosive first step. He's going to come with power. Collapsing a pocket is as important as sacking quarterbacks. The numbers will come. Probably not in the first year, because the things that you have to deal with as a rookie, whether it's the style of offenses, how they slide, chip, tight ends on the field, all the stuff that you have to beat, that Nick has to deal with every day, it's going to make Nick better. Like, it's going to take a lot of the attention away from him. I expect Nick to have a really good year next year. But Michael's going to be I don't have any question that this kid, and I don't know him personally, so I don't know exactly how he's wired, but I have a feeling he's going to be a really good player for a long time. And look, Saleh is a front four dominated defensive coordinator. That's what he did in San Francisco. That's what he did with the Jets. He wants, to our little thing that we play, he wants angry sharks getting after quarterbacks. Yeah. And I think he's going to fit that mode.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this defense was so bad last year, Baldy. They gave up 2,200 yards on the ground, 4.5 yards a carry. They only had 37 sacks because, again, if you can't stop the run, teams aren't even going to pass. You don't even need to pass. They gave up 25 rushing touchdowns and 125 yards per game on the ground. What would be your next?
Joe, hold on, Joe, hold on one second. The worst, Joe, you can make all those numbers are true.
Yes, yes.
But remember how Seattle went down the field to win the game against them?
Thank you.
It was like a hot knife through butter. It was embarrassing. Now, Nick went off the field. Like, they had nobody. Like, nobody could do anything. And the Geno Smith looked like he was John Elway coming down the field.
I completely agree. And that's why, like, to me, I get it. Like, there are other players people like. They need to make 4 or 5 more picks over the next however many on that defensive side of the ball. D-tackle, linebacker. Like, I don't know how they feel about the kid that they have, 53, who barely played last year. It felt like Devondre Campbell got way more looks than him. Like, I still think you got to replace Dre Greenlaw somewhere, and you got to get a couple of D tackles. Who are some names around 43 that maybe you like? Before we get to the rest of the teams in the country, like, where are you targeting if you're the Niners? Would it be a D tackle? Is there good value there in the 40s? Or is there a linebacker you like, or maybe a free safety that you like? I still think they need to continue to double down on defense.
Well, I mean, I love Carson Schlesinger at UCLA. I mean, to me, my comp form is Fred Warner. Like, he's going to be somewhere in the second round or third round, just like Fred was. But this kid, like, He had an unbelievable year at UCLA, and the guy's got great instincts, and his speed to the ball is crazy. And I know a lot of teams. I know Cincinnati values him. I mean, I know teams that really like him. But, I mean, Schlesinger is a guy, if you're looking for a compliment to Fred losing Greenlaw and, you know, all the Oren Burks, all the guys that were in there, like, that'd be a guy that I would certainly target at this point right now. But, look, there's tremendous depth in this defensive, you know, tackle position. Alfred Collins at Texas, Cam Jackson at Kentucky, Shamar Turner at Texas A&M. This kid from Florida State is a really big, Joshua Farmer is a massive kid inside that's got size and moves really well. I mean, there's great depth still. Deion Walker at Kentucky. Like, I saw these guys at the Senior Bowl, they all look like they had NFL bodies. They got to learn the game. They got to, you got to improve. You got to work all that stuff. But that's what coaching is all about. But there's Jamari Caldwell at Oregon. I mean, there's great depth at defensive line this draft. I think you could get some of those guys that just mentioned in the third round. But this Carson Schlesinger, I'm telling you, honestly, when I watch him play, I think of Fred coming out of BYU.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands Guest Line. Baldy, conversely, on the opposite end, on the offensive line, is there anyone the 49ers could potentially target leading into the second and third round?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good, interior offensive linemen in this draft, And so, we saw Gray Zabel go and Tyler Booker and Donovan Jackson. But, all those kids from Georgia, Tate Ratledge is really athletic. Marcus Membu, those are interior guys. But if you're looking at, tackles right now, Ariante Ursary from Minnesota is a natural left tackle, all right? You look at, a guy like Anthony Belton at North Carolina State, looks like a guy that can line up and play for you and to be developed. The elite guys all went, but Ozzie Capillo, at Boston College is 6'8", he's a natural right tackle. That played a lot of football. If you wanted, a center, Kendall from Boston College, the guy that, his dad played 13 years in this league. This kid played 37 straight games for Boston College, was coached by NFL offensive line coaches. Like, there's still great depth where you can find starters at both defensive tackle and offensive line right now.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of, like, I would call it rumors amongst the 49er fans, people that cover the team. Trade George Kittle, trade Brock Purdy, you know, take Shedeur Sanders. And I'm thinking to myself, like, look, what, they have so many holes right now. Why would we want to create new ones? So, like, for example, with Shedeur falling the way that he is, it's laughable for the Niners to maybe even consider him currently. To me, at least, it is right now. But what were your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders falling? Remove the 49er aspect of it. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, was it a great draft for quarterbacks? I mean, the Giants traded back in the first round with the Rams to get a quarterback. But they didn't like the interview with Shedeur. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people don't like his, you know, but I mean, the player itself is a good player. I didn't think he had a great pro day. I was there analyzing every throw, and I didn't think he looked like an NFL arm. The ball comes out a little loose, a lot, you know, and he's got good deep ball accuracy, but how many deep shots do you take in any game in the NFL? Like, you got to be able to stick your speed outs and your dig routes, and he didn't look great doing it. You know, he probably was a second or third round pick all along. And just because of his last name, people wanted to, and because he had some success at Jackson State and Colorado, they want to put him in this first round category. But we see guys overdrafted that can't play. Mitch Trubisky, Zach Wilson, we see this all the time. And I'm not putting him in that category because he's better than those guys. But Blake Bortles, I mean, he's better. Like, he understands offenses, but it was a very simplistic offense. I mean, it was Chip Kelly's offense that he ran at Colorado last year. So I'm not surprised. If he doesn't go in the second round, it won't surprise me. People aren't in love with him. They're not in love with this draft class. I mean, Bo Nix would have been taken over all these guys last year, and he was the sixth quarterback taken.
Wow.
No, it's a great point. Baldy, what was your favorite pick yesterday, and what was one that maybe left you scratching your head as we talk about the first round yesterday? Obviously, Genty going to the sixth overall to the Raiders. You had Jacksonville, I don't think anyone saw that, trading all the way up to get Travis Hunter second overall. You had the Rams trading out of the first round. You got the Falcons trading back into it, taking Pierce. So what was your favorite pick overall yesterday? And what was one where you're like, huh, didn't see that coming?
Well, I kind of, you know, without saying exactly what was going to happen, I thought Jacksonville was going to trade and try to get to two to get. I mean, this is the first time general manager Gladstone, new president Bisselli, new coach Liam Cohen, they're in Jacksonville. Nobody pays attention to them. I think they wanted to make a splash. I've already seen the odds, Joe. So, like, right now, Travis Hunter is, like, number three to be the offensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year, and number two to be the defensive rookie of the year next to Abdul Carter. I mean, there was basically five great players in this draft, and it was Carter, it was Abdul, it was Genty. I mean, that's it. So I thought they gave up a lot next year's number one to move up three spots, but they got a guy that I want to see what Liam Cohen does with Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be the most popular player in the league. We're going to see these crazy highlights of him every week. I love the kid. I love the person, the kid, and the ability. So I thought that was the coolest part of the whole draft, was seeing that thing get done.
You know, I love my linebackers. I feel like we devalue them. I think when you find a great one, they just never come off the field. I loved the kid, Walker from Georgia, and I love Campbell. I just hate that he went to the Eagles. Do you like those picks? Because those were guys that Niner fans were considering the Dre Greenlaw absence.
Well, look, I mean, Jalen Walker, I just want to see how they use him. He's not a great pass rusher. He's a great athlete that can come off the edge. Same thing with Jahad. Jahad, you know, is bigger. Like, he's 245 pounds. And he runs a 4.5. Like, I love the kid. He's the best linebacker in this draft. And I can't wait to see how Vic Fangio uses him. Because both these kids can spy on third down against Josh Allen and Lamar. Like, that's valuable. They can come off the edge. They can blitz. I know Jahad can cover a good tight end. You know, if he's got Kittle on third downs, you can lock him up. And he can run with them. We'll see if, you know, Kittle beats him. But there's so many different ways you can use these guys. And now it's up to the coordinators to put them in these positions and create packages for them. So the Eagles, like, that was the first first-round pick at linebacker they've used since they drafted Jerry Robinson out of UCLA in 1979. And that's after they gave Zach Bond a boatload of money for the next 4 years. Like, Vic Fangio's like, give me these linebackers. I'll show you how to use them. And so it's a good fit for what they're doing, and he's the best linebacker in this draft. Like, I love Jahad Campbell.
Hey, Baldy, great stuff. We really appreciate the time, man. I know you're so – this is probably one of the more busy weekends for you, so we really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. Good luck the rest of the weekend, man.
I look forward to it, guys. You bet. Anytime.
There he goes. That's Brian Baldinger, your courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. He loves the pick. That's what I gathered. Know, he loves the pick.
It's funny, you know, like I see a lot of people like, everybody loves every pick. And when talking about these analysts.
That's true.
I think Baldy's pretty fair. Now, things that he puts out video-wise online to hype up certain fan bases and picks, he's trying to be optimistic for those fan bases. But he will tell you if he does not like the fit or the player at a particular place, he's not going to hold back. The guy is a football junkie. Like a junkie.
Yeah. I feel like he scoffed when I hit him with the pass rush win rate. And he's like, I don't know what the hell that is.